And we're going to look into the Word of God a little bit today. Psalms, the 103rd chapter. Psalms 103. We're going to look at the first 5 verses. I guess we can just read it off the board if you would do that with me. Would you read that? Amen. I'd like you to notice the 5th verse, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Brother Soon, why don't you stand and pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of the word today. Amen. And everybody say in Jesus' name. With the help of the Lord today, I'd like to talk to you a little while, preach the word on the way of the eagle. If you remember, anybody remember what I preached on last week? Talked about the pecterns of the eagle and how he can see with his eyes closed and that there's electrolytes in the eyes and that when he's away from his place of origin, his eyes hurt. Amen. The scripture gives us an intriguing statement in Psalms 103 and verse 5. It says, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And just a cursory glance at this, we would think that the writer is talking about something good to eat, something that we could put in our mouth and to nourish us, or just some candy or something like that. But the word, the Hebrew word for mouth is edu, which means a testimony or a witness. He refers here not to your mouth, not in eating things, but he refers to your testimony. He refers to that thing that shows how you're living for God. Psalms 119 and verse 7 use the same Hebrew word in the second part. Instead of being translated mouth, it's translated the testimony of the Lord. In 55 other places, the scripture talks about that word mouth. And the reason I bring this out is just to let you understand he's not talking about eating something. He's talking about your testimony. And your testimony is how other people see God. Amen? Your testimony is how other people see God. A testimony is a witness or an evidence. You can say, I live for God. You can say, I serve the Lord. But without a testimony, without a witness of your faith, people cannot see God. When they witness that you are a servant of the Lord, and by the evidence of the way you live and by the way you do things, they see God through your testimony. Amen? And the Lord wants to fill your testimony. He wants to fill your mouth. He wants to fill your testimony, Brother Rick, with good things. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about a candy. And then he went ahead and he said, my youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen? That's what I want. I don't know about you, but I need some eagle's wings. Amen? When you get a little bit older, you don't feel like you did when you felt younger, and you need the touch of the Lord. Much more, you know, when you were 25, 30 years old, you felt like you could work till 10 o'clock at night. You could run all day long and never bothered you. But get close to 50 and you're going to start to feel the wear of time. But you know what? God can still give you eagle's wings. Amen. God can still fill your mouth with good things and renew your youth like the eagle. In the later years of the eagle's life, I'd like you to look at this. This is so interesting. As that eagle begins to age, his feathers grow old and mottled and eventually will begin to fall out. Some of us have that problem with hair. We get wrinkled skin and our hair begins to fall out. But this is the problem with the eagle. His feathers will grow old and they'll grow mottled, and sooner or later they're going to begin to fall out. I don't know about you, but if you as a bird, your eagles begin to your feathers begin to fall out, you would have a little bit of a problem flying. Amen? His beak grows dull, and his talons lose their sharpness. You ever seen a picture of an eagle coming in to get their prey? He's coming down, boy, and he's got these talons open, and he's going to grip whatever he's picking up. And because of the sharpness of those talons, he's able to pick that up. And the beak, of course, he's able to break into his prey. and to eat that thing, but his beak grows dull and his talons begin to lose their sharpness. His feathers begin to fall out. And because of this, he can neither fly as high as he used to, and he can't grasp his prey like he used to. Anybody ever felt like, I can't fly as high as I used to, Lord? I feel like, God, I used to be able to go to higher heights with you than I am right now. It just seems like I can't hardly get off the ground. Amen. When this happens to the eagle, something begins to speak to the eagle. And you know what it does? It flies off, Brother Rick, and it finds itself a cave. And that eagle goes into that cave and begins to scrape away his feathers and begins to take the rocks on his and wear off his talons and his beak inside of that cave. He's not satisfied with wings that won't fly. He's not satisfied with talons that won't grasp prey. He's not satisfied with a beak that cannot do what it needs to do. He says, I'm going to get into a cave, I'm going to get alone, and I'm going to begin to break those things. I'm going to take rocks if I've got to, rub my feathers off, rub my talons off, rub my beak off on the rocks inside that cave. While doing this, the bird, the eagle, begins to fast, and the eagle begins to wait. I don't know if you know this, but this is the way of the eagle. It's not satisfied that things are not like they used to be anymore. He goes, and nature speaks to him that he has got to go and do this thing. I want you to know that God made nature. Nature is not a woman of this earth. God made nature. The things that happen in this world are created of God. And basically, God is speaking to this eagle and say, eagle, it's time to go and find yourself a cave and wear away these things. Because you know what? He's going to begin to make them new again. The eagle understands, though it's painful and trying, that if he waits, something good is going to spring anew in him. How about you? You feel like sometimes you need God to do something in your life. What do? You've got to get like the eagle and begin to wait upon God. It's not enough just to keep running, but sometimes you got to slow down, find yourself a place, and begin to seek the face of God. You see, as he waits, those feathers begin to grow back. And that beak begins to grow back. And those talons begin to grow back. And that eagle emerges from his time of fasting and waiting on nature to do its thing. And when he stretches forth his wings, he looks like a brand new young eagle. Because those wings grow back, Brother Soon. The feathers grow back. And the talons grow back sharp. You ever cut your nails? I've seen women with nails like talons. You ever seen that? You ever wonder how somebody's, they got like 19-inch long nails. You know, if they were really sharp, they'd kill you with those things. But it all grows back. It all comes back. And he begins to fly again to heights that he once knew. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to go some high places. We sing that song, I'm going up to the high places. Amen. You're never going to go there unless you can soar like an eagle. You'll never be there walking with the turkeys. You got to soar like an eagle. Amen. The prophet Isaiah wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, those that wait upon the Lord are going to do what? They're going to renew their strength. Amen. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. See, God knew what the eagle did. And he told us in some places to look at the way of the eagle. It's a wonderful thing. And God knew that that eagle, when its feathers begin to get mottled and it can't fly high, it goes and finds that cave and tears them off and comes out and he mounts up with new wings. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's something special that happens in the life of a child of God when they make up their mind that they're going to get down and they're going to get to business with God and they're going to begin to seek the face of God with everything that's within them. A time of waiting, a time of seeking God, perhaps a time of fasting, a time of praying, but you know what? They're going to mount up with eagle's wings. If you've ever felt tired, if you've ever felt like you can't soar to the heights you used to soar to, I want to encourage you today to begin to wait on God, to begin to seek God, because God can renew everything inside of you. He can renew your testimony. He can fill your testimony with good things. He can renew your spirit. Sometimes people are just dead. Have you ever felt like that? I'm the dead in Christ. Well, he can make you alive one more time. And somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, that old eagle. You see, Brother Soon, that old eagle got tired of flapping his wings and never getting very high. Amen. Sometimes we flap our wings. We lift up our hands and praise the Lord. And we're just not getting very high. As a matter of fact, it just seems like nothing's happening. It just seems like we can praise God and God ain't there. It seems like when we can reach out and we can pray and God's not answering our prayer, nothing's happening. We're flapping our wings. But we're just not getting very high. Why? Because our feathers are beginning to molt. Our beaks and our talons are beginning to get dull. And we need to find a place to begin to wait on God. The natural man is beginning to rise. Anybody remember what you were like before? If you knew what I was before I came to God, you would be shocked. I had a beard. I had hair halfway down my back. And I wasn't a ladies' man, but I was what they called a head back then. And I was not a servant of the Lord, no way, no shape, and no form. And I want you to know something, that if you are not careful, and everybody was something before you came to God. Don't tell me you weren't, because everybody was something. And I'm not talking about something like somebody, but everybody had some issues. Perhaps somebody was a drunkard. Perhaps somebody was a drug addict. Perhaps somebody was a ladies' man. Perhaps somebody was a thief. We could make the list go on and on and on and on and on. But what you were, if you're not careful, will come back to seek you once again. If you allow the spiritual man to die, the natural man is going to rise. He will always, through your entire walk with God, he will always try to rise. When you come to God, the flesh is crucified and we're buried with Christ. And you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to give you the power to walk in newness of life. As a matter of fact, Brother Soon, why don't you get me Romans chapter 6, the first four verses. And we'll read that. I meant to write this down, but I didn't. Brother Soon, why don't you read it real loud? Romans chapter 6, the first four verses. See, when you go down in the waters of baptism, what's happening is you're dying to the flesh. Amen? You're dying to the flesh. And when you get down into that watery grave, you have the promise of being resurrected by the Spirit of God. And it's that Spirit of God, that baptism of the Holy Ghost, that gives you the ability to walk in newness of life, is what happens. And through the course of time, though, if you've lived for God any amount of time, your flesh will rise again. The spiritual heights that you flew can't seem to be reached anymore. Amen. We've become spiritual couch potatoes. Anybody ever felt like you were a spiritual couch potato? Maybe we got a couple of couch potatoes here. I don't know. I'll admit, I enjoy to sit on the couch. I enjoy to relax. And we all need to relax and we all need to rest sometimes. But you spend too much time as a spiritual couch potato and you're going to lose your edge. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we got another guy that turned into a couch potato. His name was David. Scripture says it came to pass after the year was expired and at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. The Bible says that we have been made kings and priests. I'll tell you something, kings. You need to be at war. Amen. When everybody else is going out to war and you're sitting there at Jerusalem, you're going to get in trouble. And this is what happened to David. The Bible says while they were out and war, he was out wandering the rooftops, just looking around, and all of a sudden he says, this woman taking a bath on the roof. You know, they didn't have indoor plumbing back then. So they went up to the roof, sometimes, and they took their baths up there, and he saw this beautiful woman taking a bath, and the rest is history. David destroyed his life, destroyed the things he had because of the sin that came after, because he wasn't out doing battle, but he was letting somebody else go out there and do the battle, and he stayed home at Jerusalem. Amen. He became a spiritual couch potato. When you lose that edge to be in the spiritual battle, you know what happens? The flesh rises. The flesh rises. The passions and desires of the flesh for sin. I want you to know something. They cannot be destroyed. They can only be subdued. They can only be subdued by the greater passion and desire for the things of the Spirit, spiritual things. And somebody say, praise the Lord. And all of us, everybody say all. All of us at some time or another will lose that edge. And our wings of eagles will begin to molt. And our talons will begin to dull our beak. And will begin to break. Amen. Our beak will begin to break. In my younger days, I don't know if you can imagine this, but I could do some weightlifting. Now, there's more than one reason that I haven't been lifting weights. When I got in that car accident in 1996, it was very painful for me for several years to do exercise. And I gained a lot of weight then. I was not as heavy as I am now. And I'm not as heavy as I was last year. I've managed to lose some weight. But in my younger days, I could actually lift 165 pounds of weights. See, you see me with muscles here? Amen. But I can't do it anymore. Perhaps now my body is feeling better than it did just a couple of years ago. I could begin to do that. But I can't now because I haven't kept up with it. Anybody ever lifted weights, exercise? Hey, we got anybody jogs? Maria, you ever jogged? Anybody ever jog? Sister Soon, you jogged? How many miles did you jog? 2 miles? If I told you to go out and jog 2 miles and come back, could you do it now? No, you couldn't do it now. Why? Because you ain't been running for a little while. So you got to keep up with some things. When you begin to lose your edge spiritually, the passions and desires of the flesh which have been subdued begin to rise again and take you far from God. You got to be so careful when you're a servant of the Lord that you keep serving God. Amen? Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Either say praise the Lord or all me. Sometimes when you lose the edge, you're just going through the motions. Lifting up your hands and praising the Lord. Clapping your hands. Paying your tithes. Just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. And I encourage you to go through the motions, but with the idea of getting out of the motions. See, you can't give up. So I felt, believe me, I felt in times, I've told you, in the past few months, I've felt tired, but God has been doing some things for me. God has been giving me some strength. You know what? He can take you, and he can renew your strength as the eagle. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 24 from the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me." How many of you think you're it, man? You're good. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "I know that nothing good lives within me, and that is in my flesh, for the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it's sin that lives in me. So I discover this principle, when I want to do good, evil is in me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law, but I see the different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man am I who will rescue me from this body of death." Now, I know that there are people that look at the scripture and say, "We just can't help it. We might as well just accept the fact that we can just never overcome." Let me tell you something. He was asking the question here, who is going to rescue me from this body of death. You know, the Bible tells us that we have been made overcomers. Amen. We have been made overcomers. I don't care what issues you struggle with, what issues that you have, you can overcome them through the blood of the Lamb. I know that Paul had some issues, and at some point, Paul overcame his own issues. Paul did not stay in the place where he was just a continual sinner. But God did something in his life. He said, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And I'd like you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, where the scripture says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And see, that's one of the things that you've got to work on. Everybody has a stronghold somewhere. Everybody has something that they struggle with. You've got to tear your strongholds down. If you ever want to get anywhere with God, you've got to get a hold of God. You've got to take the weapons of your warfare, and you've got to begin to battle against strongholds. Sometimes they're right inside of you. Everybody's got something that they struggle with, and you've got to win the battle. You've got to fight the fight, the good fight, the Bible says, the good fight of faith. Casting down imaginations. Anybody ever have a problem with that? Men have a problem with that more than anybody. You can let imaginations get a hold of your mind. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, everybody say, every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you've ever been troubled with your mind, it seems like you can, your mind just wanders. It goes here, it goes there. It thinks of things that you don't want to think of. You know, the Bible tells us that we can get every thought. And everybody say again, every thought. Every thought can be brought into captivity. But you got to use the weapons. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If we look at the New Living Translation, it says it like this. We are human. Everybody here human? We don't have any Martians, do we? Any Venusians? Any space aliens? No, good. None of us are space aliens. You know what? I don't think they're out there anyway. But that's another subject. That's a deception of the devil for the last day. But anyway, we're humans. No space aliens here. We don't wage war with human plans and methods, is what the scripture says out of the New Living Translations. What do? We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. And you know what? Not only do we have to knock down the strongholds of our life, sometimes there's Satan's strongholds in our life, but there are actually strongholds in our area that we've got to break down. If we want, the Bible says, how can you raid the strong man's house except you first bind the strong man? So that strong man has got to be bound. And with these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. You ever talk to somebody about the Lord? You know, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you serve God with me? And they just have every kind of argument, every kind of thing. You know, there are weapons of our warfare that we can use that will break down every argument. And things have got to be done in a right spirit. So many have done things in a wrong spirit and have caused people where they don't want anything to do with God. So whatever we do, though, we have to do with the right spirit, but we use God's weapons. Amen. Do you want to break? I'm going to ask you three questions. Do you want to break the passions and desires of the flesh? Use God's mighty weapons. Are you tired of just going through the motions, of flapping your wings and just not getting very high, or just not going anywhere at all? You just flap and flap and flap and flap and flap, and you just stand on your feet. You're not going anywhere spiritually. Use God's mighty weapons. Do you have loved ones that you want to see in church living for God? Use God's mighty weapons. He said that. He said, we use God's mighty weapons to break down strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. Amen. I want to tell you something. God's mighty weapons are prayer and fasting. Amen. Everybody say amen or oh my, one of the two. Amen. If you don't pray, you're not going to stay. If you want to live for God, you got to pray. Now, I'm sure that all of us go through a time of prayerlessness. We just don't feel like praying. We just don't feel like, you know, what do you do when you don't got to feel like? That's when fasting comes in. And if you don't fast, you're not going to last. I bet you didn't know I was a poet and you didn't know it, right? So everybody say it. If you don't pray, you're not going to stay. If you don't fast, you're not going to last. Amen. As the eagle waits on God, made nature to take its course, when you begin to take your time and wait upon the Lord in prayer and fasting, I promise you, the renewal point will come. Everybody say it's going to come. But it takes some determination. Amen. You may say to me, Pastor, I've tried this in the past and it doesn't work like that on me. Well, guess what? Just keep on trying. Because sometimes when you're doing spiritual battles, it takes more than just once or twice. I hate to tell you that, but it's not always an easy road living for God. You know, like the song said, he said he never promised us a rose garden. Amen. He told us there was going to be problems. He told us that it's your determination that's going to make it. You know, not only have you got to pray and you got to fast, but there's got to be something inside of you that says, I want to make it. Somehow I want to make it. And if you have that determination, God's going to meet you and he's going to help you to make it. If you got the attitude that says, I couldn't care less, guess what? You're going to fall out. You're going to fall away from God. It's just going to happen. You got to change the attitude. There's a guy named Zig Ziglar, one of these motivational speakers, that says that we need a checkup from the neck up. Anybody ever heard that? Need a checkup from the neck up. Let God get inside of here. A checkup from here to here. And move inside of your mind. Move inside of your spirit. When that majestic eagle tries to take off. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but there's some big eagles out there. They're not little sparrows. They're big birds. You know, and it has to flap its wings as hard as it can. But even flapping those huge wings, and I wish I had looked up the wingspan of the eagle, but it got pretty big wings. As hard as it wants to, though, it cannot by itself break the force of gravity. It will get up and it will begin to fly, but it will only fly so long and so high. I don't know if you've ever known how the eagle flies. The eagle's all the way up there. But he starts out all the way down here. And by his own strength, he can't get up there. He can't. It's just not going to happen. You say, well, how does he get up there then? You see, without catching a wind current, the eagle can never soar to great heights because it's so heavy. Has anybody ever been flying in a jet? Anybody flown in a jet? And you're going over the Pacific or something, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. They call it rough weather or a turbulence. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? It could get pretty bad up there. That's a wind current is what's happening. And what happens is the eagle starts out and it's flying around. You know what it's looking for? It's looking for a wind current. And when it gets a hold of that wind current, Brother Rick, it begins to fly just a little bit higher. It keeps riding the wind currents there. And it finally brings it to the place where it's soaring great heights because it broke the grip of gravity because of the wind that's there. Fasting and prayer is such a spiritual struggle because you're beating your spiritual wings with everything that you have. Anybody ever have trouble praying? You want to pray, just like you just it's tough sometimes. Anybody ever have? Just tough. You ever try to fast? Just hard. Why is that? Because you're beating your spiritual wings and you haven't caught the wind current of the Spirit yet. You see, when you catch the wind current of the Spirit, something begins to happen. If you stop, if you're just beating your wings, you're going to come crashing down to the ground like the eagle. You know, that eagle's flying over. He don't have time to stop, boy. He's got to keep flying. If he just stops flapping his wings and gives up, you know what happens? He goes down and he crashes. It's the same thing with us. Same thing with our walk with God. If you don't keep flapping them spiritual wings, you're going to crash. You're going to crash. So sometimes it becomes a little bit of a struggle. But if you keep on, I want you to know that suddenly, like the eagle catches the wind current, you will find the wind current of the Spirit, and you will begin to soar to the spiritual heights that you once knew. It's not always a struggle. It's sometimes, Brother Soon, it's a struggle. It's hard to break. It's hard to break through. But at some point, God begins to help you, and God begins to almost take over and give you power and strength that you didn't have. And he gives you ability where you didn't have ability. He gives you desire where you didn't have desire. But it never would have happened if you didn't keep flapping your wings first. If you didn't keep flapping your wings. If you gave up, you're going to crash. But God can bring you to spiritual heights that you never knew. I'm talking to people that have not known the Lord for a long time and people that have known God for a long time. Well, how can I get to spiritual heights I once knew if I never knew them? Well, he can bring you to spiritual heights that you never knew when you begin to seek the face of God and you begin to turn your mind to him. Begin to seek God with everything that you've got. Find your place. Amen. You will find spiritual resistance trying to cause you to give up flapping those wings and crash against the ground. Every time you fast, what happens? Somebody calls you up and says, hey, you want to go to lunch? And you don't want to offend them. You know, I've had to tell people, I can't right now. I can't. And if you know me, I like to eat. Everybody say amen. You all know that. I like to eat. I go to your house and you say, I'm too heavy. And you say, eat. Just like my mother did. My mother used to do that. She says, you're getting too fat. Eat. Well, you say, I'm getting too fat. What do you want me to eat more for? You know. But every time you go to pray, the phone rings. The dog comes and jumps on you. Something happens to try to take your mind away. It's a spiritual resistance. You know what you got to do? Resist the resistance. Make your time. Shut off your telephones. Shut your door. Stay away from folks and find your time to pray. Find your time to fast. Find your time to talk to the Lord. God's going to honor that thing. If you want to go to higher heights with God, it's going to take some flapping your wings until you catch the wind of the Spirit. Amen. On October 14th, 1947, everybody ever heard of Chuck Yeager? He's still alive. He turned out to be a general, and he did something that nobody had ever done yet. He wanted to be the first one to break the sound barrier. And I think that was, it was either the X-15 or the X-47. I can't remember. I used to know all that stuff when I was a kid. You see, many other pilots had died trying to break this invisible barrier that surrounded them. They would get to going fast, and what would happen is the plane would begin to vibrate, and sometimes it would literally shake apart, and it would break apart before they went through the sound barrier, and they would die as the plane broke apart in midair, or they would pass out from the extreme pressures and lose their lives. But on this day, Chuck Yeager, he was determined he was going to break the sound barrier. Afterwards, he said, and he did it that day on October 14th, 1940. They said you could never break the sound barrier. You'd blow up. But you know what? The devil talks to us that way too. He says you can never be anything for God. You can only go so far. You're not going to go any farther. I'm going to tell you that's a lie from the pits of hell. You can break that spiritual sound barrier. Amen. Afterwards, he said just when he thought he couldn't take it no more. The plane was vibrating, the pressure was on, he wasn't feeling good, and all of a sudden there was a loud boom. Anybody ever heard a sonic boom? Kaboom. It breaks windows in some places. And everything was peaceful and quiet around him. Amen. So it is in the Spirit. Just when you think you can't make it anymore, just hang on. Anybody ever felt like, I can't make it no more? I'll be honest. There's times I felt like that. I can't make it no more, God. If you don't do something, Lord, I'm going to make it. And tell you something. He will help you. But you got to have that determination. Sister Everson, won't you come? Praise God. Got to have that determination. Just as the eagle will crash if it gives up, you're going to crash. And I want to encourage you today from just a few words that I've spoken today to learn from the way of the eagle and soar to new heights with God. How about you? Do you feel like that you're tired of just flapping your wings? Flapping your wings, just kind of getting nowhere. Well, it's going to take something on your part. It's going to take you making a determination that you're going to get a hold of God, number one, in prayer, and number two, in fasting. If you don't understand what fasting is about, then I will be glad to explain that to you. Praise God. Tell you a word about fasting. If you've never fasted before, your body is filled with toxins because of the food that you have. Caffeine. No, I don't want a guitar right now. You told him? Okay. Your body is full of sugar and caffeines. And if you try to fast for the first time without weaning yourself off of that, you will feel like you're going to die. That's just the way it is. Don't even start to fast until you've had a few days of first cutting out a little bit of caffeine, sugar, and stuff like that, because you're not going to get very far. If you can tough it out, then go ahead and do it. But I found that it takes about 3 days to get those things out of your system, and then you begin to feel a lot better. But fasting is actually doing without food, just like the eagle did. You can fast different ways. The Jews fasted from sunrise to sunset. They didn't eat anything. We have practiced the one meal a day fast. Whatever you do, always drink water. Always drink a lot of water. You can mess yourself up by not drinking water, thinking you the man or you the woman. You can get the wrong spirit inside of you. But if you will use God's weapons properly, there's strongholds that can be brought down. There's people that can come to God. You can break strongholds in your own life if you will begin to seek the Lord. Anybody ever felt like you got a stronghold you can't break? Well, if you feel like you got something you can't break, then you need to begin to seek God in prayer and fasting and ask God to break some of these things in you. And I promise you it will happen, because He will do that in your life. Amen. Anybody want to learn the way of the eagle today? You want to find the way of the eagle today? You want God to work in your life? Amen. God is able to. Why don't we all stand and let's just begin to sing unto the Lord a little bit and let God begin to move upon you.
Going up to the high places. Going up to the high places. Going